you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." That was Luke chapter 5, verse 20. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 19th, 2024, the start of a new week. And may this verse and our special guest today in the studio be used of God to fortify you on your faith journey, to maybe bring a point of conviction or healthy insight, or maybe you're praying for God to lead you in a certain way and there'll be a directive or some information that'll help. But we're going to be talking about holding up your corner, talking about race in your community. And Bishop Franklin, whenever you say, "Mark, this would be a good interview," or "this person has a story to tell," you're a shoe-in because of the credibility you've built in my life. I love that you serve and lead the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. I have you a part of our radio board. You are a great addition about a year back and appreciate you attending our various meetings, your passion for evangelism. You'll go out on the street corner and give out tracts, and you're hands-on. I love your emphasis on prayer and uniting the Springfield and greater community to be praying. You've attended many of our events. You're involved in the community. You have a heart for people, and you have a heart for pastors. And yet there's things that have been going on in our community that you're very engaged with. So share how Pastor Johnson was brought to the community, because I think you read his book and you were familiar with his expertise or insights because of some situations he went through, and then give a little more of an introduction because we're just getting to know each other.
Thank you, Mark. It seems that time after time in our nation, we have these situations rise up where the race issue is brought back to the forefront. Here in Springfield, recently it was the killing of Sonia Massey by a sheriff's deputy here in Sangamon County. And, of course, there's a lot of consternation in the community concerning that. And as I'm studying it, as I'm interacting with different ones, on one of my trips to the Goodwill stores looking for books, and I thought it was quite providential, I found this book. And as I began to read it, I recognized, because it's the story that comes out of a similar situation that happened 10 years ago in Ferguson, Missouri, which was the killing by a police officer of Michael Brown. And that sparked a lot of rioting and trouble in the community, burning and all of that. And Pastor Johnson was pastoring. His church was right across the street from the Ferguson Police Department. And so he was right in the thick of all that was going on to that. And he writes this book concerning those experiences. And I said, wow, you know, he would be the perfect person to come in and address a group of clergy in our community to kind of help us process what we're going through. And so I was able to track him down. The book that I purchased out of the Goodwill had been the property of Bishop Frank Beard of the United Methodist Church. He recently retired from his role there, but I got his book and I read it. So recently, a group of clergy met together to discuss these things, and Pastor Johnson came in to share with us his insights into these kinds of situations. It was a very productive meeting. And so I talked to you and said, you know, once we're done, I think this would be a good interview, because our community is still in the healing process from that. And whatever resources we can tap into to help that process along is what we're reaching out for. And I think that Reverend F. Willis Johnson is a resource that God has made available to us. And we were all very pleased with his presentation when he spoke with us. So now he's here, and the greater Springfield community gets to hear about holding up our corner.
And I love that you've been proactive, and as the president of the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance, you wanted to make sure that our churches and our pastors were proactive before something like this would continue to happen and end up being violent or people hurt or buildings burned and so forth. So I appreciate that you were taking the initiative and this is being discussed, and I'm hoping our listeners can learn too, because this can happen in Champaign, Urbana, Decatur. It can happen throughout our country and world. And so I appreciate you, Pastor Johnson, being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. You've written a book. It's called Holding Up Your Corner, Talking About Race in Your Community. And so this was just handed to me, so we didn't have any time for show prep and such, but I appreciate the work that you're doing. And anyone that Bishop Franklin recommends, I know, is doing a work of God and has a solid faith journey. So can you talk a little about your own faith journey and maybe some of your personal experience of racism or where things weren't fair, and yet how God put this book on your heart?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the invite and the opportunity to share, and more importantly, for a community like Springfield and its greater and wider family and network to welcome me. I'm just a nobody trying to tell anybody about somebody who loves them. I'm a Christian who is in process. I'm fortunate that I had a home life and an example that presented Christ to me in my earliest stages. And yet, like so many, I've come to know, and I'm still along the journey of knowing God for myself and living out what I think is the ultimate ethical example of Christ as best as I can. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving every day to get better and do better. And so without giving the whole autobiography, I consider myself in discipleship. I get the pleasure to not only be a disciple for God, but then to help to shape others. As I have a calling on my life, I serve as a pastor in the Columbus area for Christ Church, Christ Columbus Church. And for now, more than, 20 plus years, I've been in ministry. I've been in ministry, and particularly about 15 or so of those years have been in some kind of lead capacity. But what has probably given me the most shine on my situation or me has been the fact that I pastored and led a community of faith at the time, Michael Brown, and particularly in Ferguson, Missouri, for more than 8.5 years. And like so many people, I'm sure there could be a number of stories and situations that speak to not only my experience with the reality of the title of this book, but all of us in some shape, form, or fashion find ourselves many times othered or different from, no matter what that might look like. And so I want to help people understand that when we talk about, in this, in particularly the title of this book, the presenting issue of so many things in our nation and unfortunately in our world right now, center on how we seek to identify one another that is not in the ways not only that are humane or respectful, but are also not in the way or in the language and in the understanding of God through Jesus the Christ. All of us are creation. We all have a sacredness of person. I believe in the Imago Dei that we represent the fullest, if not a part, the fullest expression when together of who and how God seeks to be offered and seen in real time in the world. And so I think we just have a responsibility and opportunity to honor that in ways that are not only appropriate, but ways that are appreciative. And so that's kind of my really short, quick story. I love the Lord, and I try to find ways every day to live through that, whether that's in the company and in the faithfulness of trying to be the best person I could be for my partner in life and service in terms of my wife, who makes me better in all things in every way, and then try to do it the best I can for my children. I have the unique joy and burden of pastoring across generations. I parent and pastor across generations. So I've got some older children, and then I got this new amigo, Bambino, who has just turned 3. And so all my kids are in their terrible twos. I like the joke, but that's me. That's who I am. Anyway, I'm just a guy trying to figure out how to share God with more people most days.
Well, a verse that I've come across, and it's brought really healthy conviction to me, and it's out of James. And as soon as I read this, I'm sure you're going to have some application or points where it's true for all of our listeners. But it's James 3:9, and it says, "With our tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse man who has been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth become praise and cursing.
My brothers, this should not be.
And I know during this political climate, or like we get tribal, anyone different from us, we have things to say about them, and they're not God-honoring. And yet God again and again keeps telling me everyone has been made in his image. People from different political parties, from different economic backgrounds, from different lifestyles and so forth, that I have to be really careful that I'm not in one moment praising God and then in the next moment demonizing or tearing down somebody that's different from me. And it says, this should not be. And so I'm sure you've seen that in Ferguson and other places where people are tearing each other down. So how did you find hope, or how do you bring healing when so many people are sinning and just don't care about others?
Well, I think you have to take an opportunity to be honest first with yourself. I have a lot of critique and a lot of commentary and a lot of questioning external to me. You know, I can look into the world. I can look at my next door neighbor. I can look across the room or on the TV and find a reason to, again, question, have comment or critique. But I kind of find myself in the practice of the prophets of old, particularly the 8th century prophets, those cats like Micah and them, who live by this principle. For every question, critique, and commentary you raise, you have to remain answerable to it. And I think the best thing that we can do, particularly as people who are faithful, we have a responsibility to call out and challenge where things are not right. We also have a freedom and a liberty in this nation to be able to speak our peace, speak our mind, speak our prerogative. And yet living through that with a lens and with the grounding of faith, more times than not, invites you to check you instead of you fact check or check someone else first. And so I try to live in that as best as I can. I try to make sure that what I'm saying and doing or thinking about others, that I'm yet also thinking and saying and doing about myself. The other part I've learned is that most people are challenged to be fully knowledgeable, comfortable, and clear and convicted about themselves. Much of what we say and do and what we hear in many spaces nowadays, particularly that is divisive, that is dehumanizing, that is challenging in terms of question or threat to others, is really projection. There's an old playground expression, I'm rubber, you're glue, you bounce off me and stick to you. You know, there's a lot to be said, particularly in my own experience over the years. And when I look and listen in the world today, I'm always amazed. I'm like, wow, I wonder why this person is so consumed by this situation or issue that is somebody else's situation or issue. I'm not saying that we don't have to speak up for right. As a matter of fact, I do believe you speak up for right. We also need to live right. I think we also need to call out what's wrong. But oftentimes our sense of wrongness or rightness sometimes is not always rightly aligned with the word, with the witness, and with the worship of God. So lastly, I don't mean to preach at y'all, but in that text, the first thing that people can do is to ask themselves, it used to be an expression on a wristband back in the day that says, would Jesus actually say that? Would Jesus actually do that? Would Jesus actually be okay with that? And if Jesus wouldn't be okay with that, say that or do that, why do we think just because we have Jesus, we can say that too? So I don't know. That's my struggle every day.
Well, with recognizing that we have a wide range of listeners, from senior saints to people that haven't even begun a faith journey and everything in between, to believers that know to follow the Lord, love thy neighbor as thyself, and follow the commandments of God. But for the unchurched person, what kind of advice or insight do you give them when they aren't navigating through a filter of these are the things we don't do, or we accept all? You know, God has valued everyone, so we're taught to love everyone.
Well, there's a universal translation to much of both the Christian canon or text that is often shared across many traditions of faith. We call it the golden rule, to treat others like you want to be treated. We also, particularly as Christians, are told, like you just said earlier, to love people like we love ourselves. I know there's not a lot of love in the world because a lot of people don't love themselves. Most people are doing the best they can because they're trying to figure out how they understand themselves. So those of you who may not know all the scripture or may not buy into the full expression, let me ask you this. Whatever doesn't feel good to you, do you want somebody to feel like that? If you have a name, wouldn't you want someone to honor your name? So therefore, shouldn't someone else's name be honored? Hey, you, me, us, who have the blessing to be able to live in a country that is a democratic republic that allows ourselves to be free and says that we can have a right to name and identify and celebrate who we are and whose we are. Shouldn't that be a shared right or a shared opportunity of someone else? You don't have to know the 66 books of the canonical library or the book or the Biblia or the Bible. You can just kind of feel what's right. And in feeling what's right, you can know whether it's right or wrong. The last little point, I got a lot of friends, you know, some people use the language of the Holy Spirit. I remind people all the time, don't mistake everything for indigestion. It feels some way. Matter of fact, we believe that there's a power in us and an operation of power that is happening first in us, which is an inward action that has outward expression. Mm-hmm. And whatever you name it or claim it to be, let me help you with this. Don't discount it. Don't discount it. And then from there, maybe you can get to the next stage and level of identification and notification of what that might be.
In case you just tuned in, I have Pastor Willis Johnson in the studio with me. He wrote a book, Holding Up Your Corner, written a few years ago, talking about race in your community. He came to the greater Springfield area on the invitation of Bishop Franklin to talk to a group of pastors to help sort through. We don't want certain things to happen in our community. How can we be proactive? How can we take steps and measures to minimize some of the racism, some of the things that are happening, the prejudice that goes on that needs to be dealt with? And so Bishop Franklin, as Pastor Johnson spoke to this group of pastors, did you feel like good seeds were planted, that some measures can be taken, or there were insights garnered that will help our community of Springfield, maybe help the listener today?
Absolutely. And everything that I hoped would come out of that meeting did. It helped us to solidify our thought processes in terms of this immediate situation that we're dealing with, but also looking at how we can come together, because this won't be the last crisis. And our city, our nation, our world needs the voice of the Christian ministry in order to remain stable through times of instability. So I think a lot more will still come out of that meeting that we had.
And I know I've heard you say this a number of times, the church needs to step up and be the church, be the vehicle that God's going to use to speak into the community, not let the world or the community speak into the church. But the church has to be on the forefront, passionate about proclaiming Jesus, but getting forth the message of God before we surrender everything to society.
Right. The church is evangelism. Anything else that we do to the neglect of evangelism, we are not being the church. We have a lot of church, but we must do a better job of being the church. Mm-hmm. Church is the light of the world, and that is what the society around the church can see, and that is what produces hope in the hearts of people.
Now, Pastor Johnson, we opened up the program and I read from Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, there was much more. You had a lot more verses and things that you would love to share about. Yeah. But in our closing minute or two, why did you pick this verse out of many verses?
Yeah, I picked this verse because at the time in which I found myself and my community in crisis, we were needing to figure out how we could remain hopeful, expectant of something better in the midst of what was going on. And for many in my community, the situation of Michael Brown, a young African-American male, having a fatal encounter with system was something challenging for them. Many people saw their own mortality. They saw their own relative. They saw their own experience. And so, long story short, in this text, there's these four cats who see their friend hurting, and they make a decision that, you know what, that's not cool. We want our friend not to hurt. We want our friend to be helped. And so they took their friend to the source of help and hope. And when they did that, something happened because of their efforts, because of their witness, because of their belief that something better could happen for them, for their friend. It was acknowledged, it was affirmed, it was awarded in such a way that their hurt one got healed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about anybody right now in Springfield or in vicinity, but however you feel and whatever you're going through in your own life or in the lives of others, and particularly right now in this community that's hurting on this particular issue, you have an opportunity. All you got to do is take a part, a piece of the fabric, of the mat, and you have something to do and you can be a help. There is a source of help and hope that can be a blessing And I just believe that to be true in the scriptures of not only of Luke, but in all the parts of the gospel.
Yeah, when Jesus saw their faith. So as we pray in faith, asking God to insert or to move in such a way, powerful things can take place. Lives can be transformed and healing can take place. And you can be that active agent by your faith as you pray diligently and pray specifically. God can do all things and he will get the glory, and you can participate in that through your prayers, through your intercessions, through your faith. So it takes just the faith of a little mustard seed and great things can be accomplished. Mountains can be moved. And we would pray that as you think about today's subject, the different ways that you can be an active agent used of God to bring healing and hope to your community, you can do that through prayer and asking the Spirit to lead you into unique divine appointments. The special guest on today's edition of Mark and Friends was F. Willis Johnson, Pastor Johnson. He wrote a book, Holding Up Your Corner, talking about race in your community. If you Google search that, Holding Up Your Corner, you can find special links, or you can go to Holding Up Your Corner Info or fwillisjohnson.info, fwillisjohnson.info. Or call the station. We can get you connected with this book, Holding Up Your Corner, talking about race in your community. Well, thank you, Pastor Johnson. Thank you, Bishop Franklin, for joining us for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. This is a subject that we want to be proactive on. We want the Lord's will, and we as a church want to be an active agent of bringing healing and hope. And so may a portion of today's broadcast be used of God to help you. Bishop Franklin, in light of some of today's subject, in light of this verse about Jesus seeing their faith and there was healing and forgiveness was given, how about praying for the listener today that's maybe really angry because of life circumstances? They're disenfranchised because things haven't been fair. They haven't been treated properly. Or for some, they don't even believe there's a God that exists that loves them. So maybe close out our time in prayer, seeking God's healing and hope and favor on those that are tuned in.
Father, we thank you today for your presence in our lives as we consider these issues, Lord, that are always before us. Everybody suffers something at the hands of someone else in some way. But Lord, you said in your word that with God there is forgiveness. And we pray, Lord God, that even as you gave your son to die on the cross to bring forgiveness to us for our sins, help us, those who listen today, to have forgiveness in our hearts towards those who have hurt them, offended them, mistreated them. Lord God, help us to be forgiving people, Lord, because that makes room for healing. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Listening friend, we serve a God who loves each and every person. He's created them in his image. He desires that none will be lost, that all will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be everyone tuned in today. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Johnson, and Bishop Jonathan Franklin with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.